This is The Rundown. I'm Hari Srinivasan. How do drugs actually get across the border between Mexico and the U.S.? Specifically, how are they shipped? What are the pipelines? What types of people participate in this massive infrastructure? L.A. Times reporter Richard Morosi dug into this for a special series at The Times, taking a deep look into the Sinaloa drug cartel. He joins me now from San Diego. First of all, give our viewers kind of a scale of this problem. How big is it? How bad is it? How many people are involved? How much money are we talking about?
A lot is written about Mexican organized crime, usually in the context of bloody massacres and fights with rival cartels in Mexico. What was not known a lot about was how they distribute drugs in the United States. What is the source of their wealth and their power? Turns out it's a very intricate, well-organized, disciplined operation that involves thousands of people, operators, who man the drug pipeline every day and generally operate low-profile manner, getting the drugs from point A to point B, and the whole operation is designed around doing it very low profile with not a lot of attention. So for all the violence you see in Mexico, here north of the border, they keep it very quiet, and it's by design.
You're talking about, in your stories, drugs that are smuggled inside bus tires and hidden panels in cars, refrigerators. How else are they actually getting across the border?
Their favored crossing point is the small port of entry in Calexico, California, in the California desert. The port of entry there sits right on the border, so there's not a lot of pre-primary inspection that inspectors can do. And what they do is they conceal the drugs in hidden compartments in vehicles. And then they will bring them across, followed by lookouts and other recruiters, so that they can track the progress of the load as it crosses into the United States and then progresses north into Los Angeles, which is a major redistribution hub to points beyond.
So these drugs, once they get into Los Angeles, that's not their end point. You even have characters that are trucking it across the country, and one guy who basically flew it across the country all the way to Pennsylvania.
In one case, there was a middle-aged guy from suburban Carlsbad in northern San Diego County who was flying drugs across the country into Pennsylvania Amish country, which surprisingly is another major distribution point for the Northeast. He was handing the drugs off to another Sinaloa cartel operative, and he was handing it over to folks who would come down from New York, Baltimore, Philadelphia, and other major markets.
You also took some time to lay out these characters, a really wide range of characters. Some were very superstitious. One was somebody who had served in the armed forces and was just looking to make money. It's a pretty broad range of people.
Sometimes in places like in border areas, you could have folks like the Iraq war veteran Roberto Daniel Lopez. Hard luck story, comes back from the war, can't find a job, and in this small town, you're never more than 1 or 2 degrees removed from somebody involved in the smuggling trade. Somebody he knew offered him a job just to simply stand at the border and watch a car cross the border and then report when it crosses. That was the extent of his role within the cartel. He was the lowest rung of this hierarchy, yet he was charged in a racketeering case targeting the highest levels of the cartel. So you get a broad range of folks. The drivers who they employ to bring the drugs up to Los Angeles, they could be anybody. They could be working at Walmart, they had students, they had folks who worked as waiters. All kinds of people are drawn into this. They make, you know, relatively good money, but not on a par with the cartel bosses in Sinaloa who are reaping riches by this trade.
So in your reporting, you had an opportunity to go through a lot of data, a lot of files from the DEA. And at the moment on Capitol Hill, we're hearing about the fast and furious sting operations conducted by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms and Explosives, and whether they let guns that they were tracking make it into Mexico and get involved in crimes. So how far did the DEA let these drugs go as they waited and sort of worked their way up the food chain to catch bigger players in the drug cartels?
Yeah, what the DEA does is not take out, they're not aiming at just taking out the lower level characters. They want to take down the entire organization, and that means learning as much as you can about it and expanding your target list. So what they would do is they would do stakeouts at the border when they knew a load car was crossing. Then they would follow that load car to the contact in Los Angeles. And once they establish more knowledge about that cell, usually they would take down that cell and also intercept the driver on the way back. So they would seize the money and they would seize the drugs. But what happens is the DEA is operating in the shadows. They have local police make the busts. So the cartel operatives aren't aware that it's a large federal investigation, and they remain in the dark that this is part of a much bigger effort targeting higher levels in the cartel.
All right, Richard Morosi from the LA Times. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Hari.
This is The Rundown. I'm Hari Srinivasan. Stay with us.